I went to sleep that night with the sounds of the winter storm yelling at me. Curiously enough, although I had just thrown away every shred of self-defense, I felt secure in a way I had never before known. In the morning, I woke up with such joy welling in me that I had to tell someone. I couldn't tell my family. They were worried enough about me already. That left the Westras and Keys. The Westras understood right away. "Praise the Lord!" Philip Westra shouted. The phrase made me uncomfortable, but the tone of his voice warmed my heart. The Westras did not seem to think I had done anything strange or abnormal. They used words like born again. But in spite of the odd language, I got the idea that the step I had taken was along a well-travelled road. Keyes also, when I told him, recognized the experience at once. He was sitting at his desk, surrounded by his inevitable books. He gave me a scholarly look. "There's a name for what's happening to you," he said, tapping a particularly forbidding-looking volume. "It's called a crisis conversion. I'll be interested, Andrew, to see if a response in depth follows it." To my surprise, though, when I went to see Teal, she did not seem as pleased as the others. "Wasn't this the kind of thing people did at mass rallies?" she asked. Poor Teal. She was about to have another shock, worse than the first. A few weeks later, in the early spring of 1950, I went to Amsterdam with Keyes to hear a well-known Dutch evangelist, Arne Donker. Toward the end of his sermon, Pastor Donker interrupted himself. "Friends," he said, "I've had the feeling all night that something very special is going to happen at this meeting. Someone out there in the audience wants to give himself to the mission field." Theatrics, I thought. He's got someone planted out here who's going to jump up now and run forward and add a little emotion to the evening. But Mr. Donker continued to peer out over the audience. The silence in the meeting hall under his stare grew oppressive. Keyes felt it too. "I hate this sort of thing," he whispered. "Let's get out of here." We edged our way to the end of our row, heads turned eagerly. We both sat down. "Well," said Mr. Donker at last, "God knows who it is out there. He knows the person for whom is waiting a life of perpetual risk and danger. I think probably it's a young person, a young man." Now all over the hall people were turning and looking around as if to spot whom the preacher meant. And then in obedience to some summons I shall never understand, both Keyes and I were on our feet. "Ah, yes," the preacher said. "There you are, two young men. Splendid. Will you boys come forward?" With a sigh, Keyes and I walked down the long aisle to the front of the meeting hall, where we knelt, as if in a dream, to hear Mr. Donker say a prayer over us. As he prayed, all I could think of was what Teal would say. "Really, Andrew,"